Hi, this is Pastor Leon Pretorius from Grace Fellowship Sasselburg. Welcome to our fourth episode on our study of suffering. Now, last week we started with the big question of the consequences of the fall. And I said to you that these consequences are a vital part of the puzzle to why there is suffering in the world. And the first area that we discovered in terms of the consequences of Adam's sin, was that it severely affected one of those four relational categories I mentioned to you. You remember I said that we are created in God's image and we are therefore relational creatures, right? And so I mentioned four relational areas or categories. The first was your relationship to yourself. The second was your relationship to God. The third was your relationship to other people, and the fourth one was your relationship to creation. Now, last week we saw that our relationship to ourselves was severely affected by Adam's transgression. Paul says that by his sin we were all made sinners, and as a consequence of the fact that we are sinners, we transgress God's law, and so there is guilt and shame and fear, and there's this internal conflict. Now, I want us to look at the second one, the second category, which is your relationship with God. Now, what I'm going to do in this episode is I'm going to take you to three different passages to build on a picture of what the Bible says about our relationship to God. Now, you're going to hear a word repeated in two of these passages. And that word is flesh. And I want to just take a moment to tell you what that is so that we don't have to do it when we deal with the passages themselves. But as you'll recall from our last episode, Paul says that we are born under the power of sin, right? And so we are sinners. There's the sin principle in us, in our fallen nature, that we inherit from Adam. And that principle or being in that condition is what Paul calls being in the flesh. So when you hear the word flesh, think of being a sinner under the power of sin. And so by nature, you are transgressing God's law. Now, the first passage I want to take you to is Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8, verse 6 to verse 8. I'm going to read to you. And this is where Paul describes the person who is fleshly. Okay, he says, the mind that is set on the flesh is death, but the mind set on the spirit is life and peace. Now listen to verse 7. Because the mind set on the flesh, okay? So now we're talking, he's about to describe something very important about the kind of person who is fleshly, who is under the power of sin. He says such a person is hostile toward God. And such a person does not subject him or herself to the law of God, for they are not even able to do so. And those who are in the flesh cannot please God. So the first picture we get here in Romans 8 of our relationship to God is that we are at enmity with him. We are hostile toward God. That word is very important. That word is the kind of word you use to describe someone who is at war with you. He's hostile towards me. And that is what we are towards God when we are in the flesh. Again, in Ephesians chapter 2, in verses 1 to verse 3, Paul does the same thing. He describes that old fleshly person. And he says, and you were dead in your trespasses and sins, in which you formerly walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, that and of the spirit that is now working in the sons of disobedience. Among them, we too all formerly lived in the lusts of our flesh, indulging the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, even as the rest. Now, backing up to verse 1. He says, and you were dead in your trespasses and sins. Of course, Paul is talking to the Ephesian church here. And these are people who had become followers of Jesus Christ. And he says, there was a time in your lives when you were dead in your trespasses and sins. That time was when you were in your flesh, right? You were fleshly. You were in that old nature under the power of sin. And when Paul says you were dead in your trespasses and sins, clearly they weren't physically dead, right? So the question is, what does this death mean? What is it? What is he talking about? And the answer is that they were dead towards God. This is a spiritual death, right? Though he is alive, this man is spiritually dead. Now, this death can be described like when you go to the dentist and they inject you with anesthetic in your mouth. In about, a couple of minutes from the injection, you don't have any feeling in your mouth. You don't have any taste because everything in your mouth is dead. And so when you go back home and you still, you get home with this mouth that's got no feeling and so forth, and you try and eat something. Generally, I would say nobody has an appetite when their mouths are like that because people are dead to food. They are dead to taste. That's the way we can think about this death that Paul talks about. We were dead in our trespasses and sins. We were dead to God. We had no spiritual appetite for the truth. And that's important. I'm going to make a point in a moment just now, because some of these things, when I say them, you might think, but I know so many people, and I myself know that from a young child, I was religious. I wanted to know God and so forth. And yet the Bible says that I was dead in my trespasses and sins. I was dead to God. I'm going to explain that in a moment. But first of all, this is the picture we've got to get, right? Here, Paul says that the old fleshly person that inherits his nature from Adam, that's all of us. We are born dead spiritually in our trespasses and sins. In Romans, he says that we are at enmity with God. There's that enmity, that hostility towards God. That one could also describe in this way. Though we can be very religious, yet there's a reluctance to submit ourselves to the full control and sovereign control of God. So you could ask yourself this question. You may have religious feelings, you may have religious desires, all of these things, but do you truly love God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength? Or do you love something else more? Do you love God for as long as what he's giving you, what you want, but the moment you don't get what you want, do you then become hostile towards God? I would suggest that that is the truth of all of us. We are at the basic level of our being hostile towards God. God, in most cases, is there to serve our interests. And when he doesn't do that, we get angry. And so that's the natural man. That's the flesh. But Paul goes on in verse 2 of Ephesians chapter 2. He says, you were dead in your trespasses and sins, in which you formerly walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, of the spirit is now working in the sons of disobedience. Among them, we too all formerly lived. Interesting. Paul, I'm going to give you some background in a moment, but Paul includes himself here. He says, we too all formerly lived. And how did we live? In the lusts of our flesh. So we are dead to God, which means that we are alive to the flesh, right? That's what he means, in your trespasses and sins. And then also, he says here, we live indulging the desires of that flesh and of the mind. And then he ends by saying, and we were by nature children of wrath, even as the rest. So when the Bible describes that, that old fleshly person, that person that is born of natural seed and he or she is born with a nature that is inherited from Adam. He is born at enmity with God. He is born dead to God. In other words, spiritually dead. And he is born, he or she is born alive to the flesh, alive to that power of sin, that sin that controls us, right? We are alive to that. We indulge that. And we are therefore by nature children of wrath. That is what we will receive. And then lastly, I want to take you to another passage in chapter 4 of Ephesians. Here again, Paul describes people who are in the flesh, right? And he's not using the word flesh here, but you'll get my drift as I read it to you. So this I say, he says to the Ephesians, and affirm together with the Lord that you walk no longer just as the Gentiles also walk. Now here he's going to describe the Gentiles. Now when Paul uses the word Gentiles, he's talking about unbelievers, right? People who do not follow God and do not follow Christ. And have not submitted to the Lord Jesus Christ and to his lordship and his loving control. Right? He says, they walk or live in the futility of their mind because they are darkened in their understanding. Now that's a very important way of describing that old person or the fleshly person or a person who is under the power of sin. That person is darkened in their understanding. Again, being darkened in your understanding is like being dead in your trespasses and sins, right? It's the same way of describing the spiritual deadness of that person. They do not have spiritual understanding. And they are excluded from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them. And that ignorance is there because of the hardness of their heart. Yeah, we've come full circle again. Back in Romans, he says that we are hostile towards God. Here he says we are hardened in our hearts towards God. So this spiritual deadness is a willful blindness, a willful deafness, and a willful anesthetized spiritual life. In other words, we are born and we do not want to know the truth. Now, this is a source of great, great suffering in the world. In Romans chapter 1, we read how God responds to this kind of behavior, this kind of hostility towards him. In chapter 1, verse 18, we read, the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness. That is exactly what we do. The truth of God is proclaimed in all creation. Paul says, and so does Psalm 19, that the heavens declare the glory of God and the firmament tells of his works. And so humanity, as in that fleshly state, denies the truth of our Creator. And we suppress the truth in unrighteousness. You can think of atheism as one example of that, of false religions as another example of that. And so men suppress the truth in unrighteousness, and as a consequence, God's wrath is revealed. Now in verse 21, Paul describes God's wrath. Now you would think when you hear the word wrath, God is here with a big shambok. And he's about to hit everybody. That's actually not what he says. In verse 24, he describes God's wrath. And listen to what he says. Therefore, God gave them over in the lusts of their hearts to impurity. So God's wrath that is revealed from heaven against people who suppress the truth in unrighteousness, not that he comes down with some whip to hit us and to punish us. What God does is he gives us over to the lusts of our hearts. He gives us over to those lies that we believe, by which we suppress the truth in our lives. That is a source of unbelievable suffering. God gave them over in the lusts of their hearts to impurity, so that their bodies would be dishonored among them. For they exchanged the truth of God for a lie, and worshipped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. Now, in the rest of this passage, he describes how God gives people over, right? And I want to just mention some of these things. Verse 26, for this reason, God gave them over to degrading passions. For their woman exchanged the natural function for that which is unnatural. And in the same way, also the men abandoned the natural function of the woman and burned in their desire toward one another, men with men, committing indecent acts and receiving in their own persons the due penalty of their error. In other words, in this very act by unto which they are given over, there is a penalty that they receive in their own persons. Verse 28, and just as they did not see fit to acknowledge God any longer, God gave them over to a depraved mind to do those things which are not proper, being filled with all unrighteousness, wickedness, greed, evil, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, malice. They are gossips, slanderers, haters of God, insolent, arrogant, boastful, inventors of evil, disobedient to parents, without understanding, untrustworthy, unloving, unmerciful. There is the source of great suffering. And then Paul says, and though they know the ordinance of God, that those who practice such things are worthy of death, they not only do the same, but also give hearty approval to those who practice them. So here's another source of great, great suffering in the world. The consequence of Adam's sin was that we are now born with a nature that is at enmity with God, that is dead to God, that is alive to sin, and we are by nature children of wrath. And just as I said to you in the last episode, in this aspect again, God has not left us to ourselves. He looks at your plight and the suffering you endure because of this fall of Adam, and he has pity on you. He has pity on me, and he has sent his Son so that we may be reconciled with God through the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen to 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 18. For Christ also died for sins once for all, the just for the unjust, so that he might bring us to God. That was the aim, the goal, the purpose for which the Son of God was incarnated in flesh and lived for 30 years here on earth and then gave himself up willingly for you and for me to the cross. Again, in Colossians chapter 1, verse 22, the Apostle Paul says the following. Colossians 1:22. He says, yet he has now reconciled you in his fleshly body through death. And here's the important part. In order to. In other words, this is why Jesus came to die. In order to present you before God, holy and blameless and beyond reproach. What a wonderful promise. Here is peace. Here is contentment. Here is a way back to God the Father. Here is a way out of the suffering caused by that enmity with God and the wrath of God that rests upon us if we persist and pursue that old life. Now again, until we meet again, may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you.